Thank you, John. Thank you, everyone that participates in this service. I think of the guys back in the sound booth there, and they're hidden away, but they're a very important part of what takes place here on Sunday morning, and I thank God for them. Well, so far, we've talked about three things that bring the glory down. What are they? Unashamed adoration, unapologetic preaching, unafraid witness, and today we are going to do how'd you know that? Unceasing prayer. Let's pray together. Father, as we bow in your presence, we acknowledge that you are a great God, and we need you. We need to talk to you, and we need to bring our cares, our troubles, our worries, everything to you, because you are able and you are willing to hear us and to answer us. And so, Lord, we appeal to you this morning that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, our prayer is simply this: Lord, speak to me. We ask this for the glory of our Lord Jesus. Amen. We read in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 3, these powerful words: call to me, and I will answer, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Does it pay to pray? Does it pray to call on the name of the Lord? You know, Danny Valesco is a man with an amazing testimony. And if you were to meet him today, he would tell you that definitely it pays to call on the name of the Lord. He would tell you that calling on the name of the Lord will set a man free. And he would say that calling on the name of the Lord will do great and mighty things for us that we cannot tell or conceive. He would tell you that God means what he says when he says to call on him. And I want you to listen or watch now Danny's testimony. It's a powerful testimony.
Clearly, the day a young lady, Wanda, in the choir, one of the sopranos, came to me and said, "Pastor Cimbala, you got to pray for this fella named Danny. I met him on my job. He is a time bomb, ready to just explode. It's an impossible situation, but we're praying. We're interceding. I've got some people praying with me. Would you join us? Because unless God performs a miracle, I can't even imagine what his end might be."
I've been doing hair and makeup as a freelance hairdresser and makeup artist, working in photo studios in New York and basically around the world for about 35 years. But in my very early 30s, I decided to move to Paris because I wanted to be in the center of what was happening fashion-wise. And within 2 months of being in Paris, I got my first cover of Vogue magazine. When that cover hit the newsstands, my career just exploded. Now I was charging $3,000 a day. And I was working every day. I had as much money as I wanted to spend on drugs. Suddenly it wasn't like pills and alcohol, now it was cocaine, and then it started, then heroin came into the picture. One day I was on a photo shoot in New York City, and the model who was on this photo shoot was a very beautiful redhead. And she began to talk to me about the Lord. God is in, God loves you, and this. And I was like, you know, whatever. She was a religious fanatic, and I really didn't have very much to say to her. I just let her talk. before she left, she said, hey, Danny, do you mind if I pray for you? Right in the studio, she just took my hands and she began to pray out loud. And I had never been around anybody praying out loud, you know. And I began looking around at people going like, you know, I just thought this girl's nuts. Before she walked out, she said, look, you know, you're in trouble. She goes, I know who you are. I've seen your work in magazines for years. And I know you work with all these famous celebrities, but you're in big trouble. And she said, so I just want to let you know that the day you call on the name of the Lord, he's going to set you free. And I said, oh, really? You know, like that. And I went like, you don't understand. I've gone way too far, you know. And so she said, oh, no, no, there's no hopeless cases with Jesus. And I was like, okay, whatever, you know. But listen, I will never call on the name of the Lord. That won't happen. And I won't ever come to your church. One of my contracts was for a clothing manufacturing company. And we were shooting down in the Caribbean, and I overdosed on heroin. They sent me back a few days later to New York, and they pulled my contract on a morals clause. And I didn't care. All I wanted to do was shoot dope. So one day I pulled a garbage can between my legs, and I just began to cut up everything that had my name on it. Anything, passports, driver's license. I put the keys on the table, and I just walked out and closed the door behind me, and I never went back. And I began to live on the streets. Day-to-day existence on the streets of New York was, you wake up, you're sick, you need drugs. I had gotten down to about 108 pounds. I developed hepatitis A, hepatitis B, hepatitis C. Every once in a while, you know, living on the streets, I would go to a payphone and I would call Wanda and I would say, look, I need some money, you know, and she would go, well, if you would come by the church today, we have choir practice tonight, you know, I can give you 20 bucks or, you know, whatever. She never gave up on me. She never gave up on me. She never gave up on me. I didn't know it, but she had a whole team of, like, you know, her friends out here all praying for me. And they would pray for me in prayer meetings, you know, where there's thousands of people there, you know, crying out to God. I mean, they would pray for me and pray for me. And you know, what did I know? I didn't know everybody was praying for me. I started developing a lot of phobias on living on the street. I began to hear voices in my head. And it just began, it was constantly accusing me and constantly telling me how I would mess up. And then there was like another voice that started in, and I could hear them both at the same time. And the other voice would just curse and just spew out filthy language. You know, there was a third voice that used to just laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. I was riding the trains, and this guy, who was like a drug addict, who was also riding the train, said to me, you look like you're dying. And he said, there's a hospital at the next stop. You should go to the hospital, you know. And I went, oh yeah, maybe I will. Because I didn't want to die on the street. I went in through emergency, and I was sick. I mean, I was really sick. I don't know if it's something I remembered that Wanda had said to me, or whether like an angel whispered in my ear, but there was like one moment where I just heard like a sweet little voice in the midst of all that craziness, and it said, the day you call on the name of the Lord, he's gonna set you free. It was just at that moment that that I cried out to God, that it was as if the Spirit of God just swept into that hospital room, and it was as if he was all around me and all in me and healing me and loving me. I don't even know what I was experiencing, but it was an overwhelming experience. And immediately all the voices in my head stopped. It was just that quickly. And that's been 11 years ago almost, and they've never come back. Well, Wanda came back into the picture when I was in the rehab. I wrote her a letter, and I told her what had happened. And she wrote me back a letter. It just said, like, it had three big letters on it, W-O-W. I said, wow. She couldn't believe it. I'll tell you the thing that blows me away more than anything is that God goes so much further than we ever dare to ask Him for. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I called on the name of the Lord, I just wanted to get out of a jam. You know? And God says, no, I'll get you out of the jam, but I'm going to give you a new life. Not only that, I'll go even further than that. I'll stand you up in front of all the world, in front of audiences of thousands and thousands of people, so that others will know that they too can obtain mercy. You know, it's almost like a trophy, like you're His trophy that He wants to show off to the world and say, I can do this in somebody's life.
Isn't that an amazing story? Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Tell me, who do you call on when you're in trouble? Maybe you call your mother, maybe you call your dad, your brother, your sister, maybe you call your doctor. But do we think of calling on the name of the Lord? We have His number, don't we? It's Jeremiah 33 and 3. Remember that number. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. So if you're here today, and your life is like Danny's and maybe worse, I want to encourage you to give God a call. Maybe there's an unafraid witness like Wanda who is in your life right now, and that witness is urging you to call on the name of the Lord, and you're saying, I don't believe that God can help me. Religion is for weaklings. It's for those who can't stand on their own two feet. Maybe so, but I'll tell you, when you can't walk, a crutch isn't bad, right? And I don't mind calling Jesus Christ my crutch. He is. I need Him in my life every day. If you are pinned down by a heavy weight, and 50 feet from you there was a crane that could lift that heavy weight off of you, and all you had to do was give the signal to the hoist operator to lift that weight off of you, you'd do it, wouldn't you? Well, maybe today you've had a boulder dropped on your life. God can lift that weight off of you. The Lord wants to come to your rescue, and He wants to help you in this great time of need. The God of the universe, who upholds all things by the word of His power, including the universe, is able to come to your aid today, and He will act. God is waiting for each one of us to call to Him for help. He's waiting for us to call Him for help if we have an addiction to drugs, if we have an addiction to alcohol, if we have an addiction to pornography, to gossip, to idolatry, to pride, to envy, whatever it may be, God is wanting us to call on His name. And you know, the promise is to this great invitation that He will answer us and He will come to our aid. And the best thing about it is he will fill us with his Holy Spirit, and he will replace those things that have a grip on our lives with these things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God said in Psalm 50 and verse 15, "Call to me in the day of trouble, and I shall rescue you, and you will glorify my name. You will glorify and honor me." And this happened to a man by the name of Phil Calloway. And Phil didn't know what he was going to tell his children when they would come to him and say, "Is mommy going to die?" Because Ramona, his wife, had been having horrible seizures, and they couldn't get them under control. And many, many people were praying for Ramona, but she continued to lose weight. She went down to 90 pounds, and medical specialists did everything that they could, but nothing seemed to help. And Phil was rarely away from Ramona's side, but one night he just went out. He went out into the yard. And he walked in the darkness of that yard, and he fell down on his knees, and he called out to the Lord, and he said, "Lord, please do something. I can't take this anymore." And all of a sudden, a name of a doctor came into his mind. And the next morning, he got up and he called that doctor. The doctor saw Ramona and gave her some medication. It was some sort of a chemical deficiency, and her seizures ended. And the sparkle came back into her eye, and God, as according to Phil, said this: "God gave me my wife back." What trouble are you facing today? Is it marital trouble? Is it financial trouble? Is it unbelief? You know, the disciples of Jesus were faced with unbelief in their lives. And they asked the Lord to help them with their unbelief, and we can do the same. Maybe this whole church experience that you're experiencing right now is totally new to you. Maybe you're troubled about the sins of the past that you have committed. And maybe you think that this whole religion thing is nothing but a farce. Well, I want to challenge you today. I challenge you to call on the name of the Lord and ask the Lord to show you if or not he is real. Ask the Lord to help you with your unbelief, and I can guarantee you that he will help you with your unbelief. But you have to call on the name of the Lord from a heart that is sincere, a heart that really wants to seek God. Did you know that God is honored when we call on him? When we call on him in a time of trouble, he is honored, and that glorifies his name. And why is that? I believe it's because we are showing that we need him, that we need to depend on him. And God is honored when we do that. It's a sign of dependence. It's a sign of humility. And you remember that David prayed in Psalm 51, verse 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." My friend, God is faithful, and he will not turn his back on a broken heart, a heart that is genuinely seeking him, a heart that genuinely wants to have God touch their lives. Our world today is a world that is filled with trouble, isn't it? There's trouble all around us. And one particular area of trouble today is in the Christian home. Our Christian families today are the targets of the enemy's artillery. and he wants to bring the Christian homes down, and he's gaining ground all the time by leaps and bounds. But Alistair Begg, in his book, Lasting Love, said this concerning the whole aspect of marriage. Despite the fact that we feel a desperate need to drop anchor, we remain unclear, or worse still, unconvinced about the location of a safe haven. Yet it is well past time for the harbor lights to be turned on and for us to heed the wisdom of the harbor master. And my friends, the Lord is the harbor master of all of life's troubles today. He is the safe haven, and it is with him that we need to drop anchor today and humble ourselves before him and seek his glorious face and turn from our wicked ways. It is only then that he will burst through the heavens and come down and heal our land and heal our lives and help us with those things that are affecting us today. You know, I can't speak for others, but I can speak for myself that I need to pray more. I need to pray more. And you know, it's easy for me to read the scriptures. It's easy for me to be busy in the Lord's work. But you know what? When it comes to this whole thing of prayer, somehow I retreat. And I don't spend enough time with the Lord, just on my knees in prayer, crying out to the Lord with all my heart. But here's what the Apostle Paul challenges us with. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with perseverance and petition for all the saints. I'm going to pause here for a second. Do you know why Lydia is better now? It's because of this. That people persevered in prayer, and they called on the name of the Lord. And it was God who brought her back. Perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf, Paul said, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. And do you know when Paul commanded us to do that? It was right after his words about spiritual warfare in Ephesians chapter 6. Right after that, he said, pray. What happens when we respond to God's invitation to call out to him? Well, here's God's insurance, his promise. He says, I will answer you. I will answer you. God wants us to call, and he is honored when we do that. But you know what? There are some roadblocks to answered prayer that we need to keep in mind. And one of those roadblocks is doubt. Here's what James says about doubt. We've been looking at the book of James, a friend of mine and I, and we've looked through the book of James, and the first thing that comes up about prayer, it seems, is doubt. But if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways and all he does. And you may be facing what appears to be today an insurmountable situation that is beyond human possibility. And you've been asking the Lord for wisdom, but the reality is you're finding it hard to let go and to allow God to do the impossible. But we know when things are beyond human possibility, that's when God loves to come to work, and he likes to show us his glory through those impossible situations in life. A couple of really good books that I have read and I encourage you to read again if you if you've already read them, is Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, and Fresh Faith, written by Jim Cimbala. Those books will challenge us to continue to pray and to be close to the Lord. And in his book, Fresh Faith, he tells the story of a family who came to Brooklyn with their son. And their son wanted nothing to do with the Lord. And so they went around New York and they saw some of the sites. But one of the things that they wanted to do was to go to the Brooklyn Tabernacle on Sunday morning, and they wanted to hear Jim Cimbala preach. And their prayer was that their son would get saved at that meeting. Well, when they got there, the father got looking at their plane tickets, and he suddenly realized that their plane was leaving earlier than he had anticipated, and that they were going to have to leave before the preaching service started. They could only stay for the opening. And they were very, very disappointed. But, and here's a big but, you know the way Jim Cimbala operates sometimes. During the opening of the service, he got up and walked up to the stage, and he started preaching the gospel. And guess who got saved? The son that the parents had been praying for. Our God is a God of the impossible. With man, it is impossible, but God said himself, "Is anything too difficult for me?" He said in Jeremiah 29, "Is anything too difficult for me?" You know, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he can turn that heart in whatever direction he wants to turn it. That's the kind of God we serve. But another roadblock to answered prayer is we simply do not ask. We don't ask. We think it's an impossible situation, so we say, "Why bother asking God to help?" But James says, "You do not have because you do not ask." And Jesus also said, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened." However, another problem, another roadblock in our hearts is that sometimes we don't ask with the right motives. We don't ask with the right motives. The reason we're asking is selfishly motivated, and we're asking God to do something for our own glory, for our own pleasure. And that's totally contrary to the Word of God. Wrong motives is another roadblock to prayer. And James says again, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." But again, the Lord Jesus himself said, "And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the streets in order to be seen by men. Truly, I say to you," Jesus said, "they have the reward already in full." We need a heart check to make sure that we are praying with the right motives. And we'll receive an answer, maybe not immediately, but we may look down the road after being on this road for 10 years and look back and say, "God did answer my prayer at that particular time. I don't understand it today, but looking back, we will understand, I believe, why God answered our prayer the way he did." You see, we always have an idea of how we want that prayer answered, don't we? But oftentimes, it doesn't turn out that way. But we have to trust the Lord of the earth, the judge of the earth, who is always going to do what is right. When we are right before the Lord, when we are asking God to help for the right reasons, and in faith, trusting him to do what is right, then he will answer. And here's our inspiration for prayer. "I will tell you," he doesn't say when, "I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." His righteousness is at stake in everything. And Jesus said to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know, I believe that we have not even begun to know the great and mighty things that God can do. And if we want the glory to come down, we need to call out in faith to the Lord without doubting and without ceasing. And you're here today. And there's trouble in your life. There's trouble in your heart. Maybe you're not saved. And you know it. You're afraid of death and what's beyond death's door. Well, I can tell you this morning that there are two destinies that we can choose. One is the way of darkness, away from the presence of the Lord and away from the glory of his power, a place of total blackness. And if you think November is dark, I'm talking about something a lot darker than that. It's a darkness so thick that you can feel it. But there is another road to take too. There is the way of life, the way of light, and that is the way of God. And God will shine his light into our hearts and into our lives, and he can replace the torment that is in our heart right now with a peace that is far beyond our own understanding. And some of you who have come to know the Lord can stand up and say, yeah, I experienced that in my life on this date, at this time. I called out to the name of the Lord, and God came into my life, just like Danny did. And you know, it was an unafraid witness, wasn't it, who grabbed the hold of that hand that day in that shop and said to him, Danny, you call in the name of the Lord and he'll set you free. At that time, he couldn't understand that, but looking back now, he knows what was happening in his life. And I want to say that God does that in all of our lives when we call out to him for salvation. He wants us to be saved. It is not his will. It is not his will that any of us should perish. He wants us to come to know him. And you're here today and you're a Christian and you've been praying for revival. You long for the glory to come down. The glory, I want to say, will not come down until we get serious with God about prayer and pray unceasingly to him until we call on the name of the Lord. I like what Danny said in his testimony. God goes much further than we ever dare to ask him for. Isn't that true? Well, you know, Jesus gave us a pattern of prayer, didn't he? That pattern of prayer is one that we often call the Lord's Prayer. And I suppose we could all say that together, can't we? Let's do that right now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and as we trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You know, that was a pattern of prayer that the Lord taught us. He is holy. He's in heaven. We want his will to be the same on earth as it is in heaven. And we need to call out to him. I'm going to ask Al to come now, and he's going to sing that portion of scripture for us. Al Murray.